Take off.
Welcome to Close Up Radio, where our hosts, Doug Llewellyn and Jim Masters, bring you the amazing stories of people who answered the call to unlock their potential and taken control of their own success with authenticity, creativity, persistence, and resilience. Close Up Radio special guests share their knowledge and wisdom so you, the listener, can live the most empowered life possible. Close Up Radio. And now, here's today's host, Jim Masters.
Thanks for joining us, everybody. We're live worldwide on Close Up Radio, and it's a pleasure to have you here today. We appreciate you being with us. We also appreciate Betty Orion joining us. She's a human sex trafficking educator and advocate, one of the most influential voices in raising awareness. Betty's unwavering mission is to make certain that one day we will eliminate the horrors of human trafficking, and she will not stop until this has been accomplished. Thanks to Betty's incredible perseverance, South Carolina has become one of the highest-ranking human trafficking laws in the country. That's right. That's incredible. Although it has taken 3 years to get laws passed, Betty managed to draft laws for South Carolina in 2012 when the legislature passed the human trafficking laws unanimously into law, part of which South Carolina can seize all assets of the convicted trafficker. And if a business owner is convicted, their money is confiscated and the business is closed down and liquidated. The state of South Carolina can seize all assets, regardless of location as well. The horrifying ways people are used in trafficking include forced labor, forced marriage, sexual exploitation, including prostitution. The poor and the most vulnerable are generally the most at risk and the most population that is preyed upon by traffickers. It's Betty's eagerly anticipated two-part radio series, which we're launching today, where she will discuss here on Close Up Radio the reality of human trafficking, her continued fight to continue to bring awareness that is both eye-opening and truthful. Betty will go over books written and also harrowing real-life accounts that are quite disturbing, heart-wrenching, and a triumph of human resilience and survival. We welcome her live and direct from South Carolina. We are very excited because the conversation is going to be quite insightful and eye-opening. Betty is the owner and creator of Resolve LLC. Betty, welcome to Close Up Radio. It's a pleasure to have you here as we kick off our series together. Hope you're doing well.
Yes, absolutely.
Thanks for joining us. And a couple of questions here to get things rolling for the audience in case they're not familiar with your extraordinary work. Tell us about the inspiration for you early on. How did you first get involved in fighting against human trafficking? I know it's an extraordinary story. Love for you to share it with us.
I don't know. There are several points of push and pull, so to speak. And it was starting at a conference there were of an organization I belonged to, and there were women from Scandinavia and England, and they had heard about it, and they were fighting it. So they introduced it to us. I got back to the U.S. to discover, well, it exists here too. And then the Polaris Project was created and developed and set, and it's our the national hotline, and it still is. And it has various programs and resources. Well, then I guess the main thing was in Kabul, Afghanistan, I was in a little boutique shop that the UN used in that. And the young man, an Afghan, he turned around, he looked at me, and he pulled me aside a little bit, and he said, please, this young lady, this woman's calling her daughter. She is not her daughter. That's her son on the floor, but that's not her daughter. She is from another country and has been brought in here. And he said, just look at her. And he pulled the hijab off a little bit, and she had blonde hair and blue eyes, which wasn't of that family that was in there. And this woman wanted to buy very, very enticing perfume for this girl to wear. There was a hotel next door. In fact, the boutique was part of it. the built-in business inside the hotel. The little boy was on the floor just rolling around. The mother was in her hijab, et cetera, et cetera. And so he said, help me. And I said, okay, the perfume over there, which was a horrible perfume. So I picked one that was three times the price and horrible.
Yeah.
And the woman got angry. She did not take it out on the girl, but she had her son just come to her, and they ran out of that boutique. And there wasn't, at that time, you couldn't call anybody. They didn't have a 911. So I thought for that brave young man, that he was very brave, because she was connected with some other people in the hotel, and so it was just bad. But it's terrible when you do see it. Or when you're approached, I've been approached via Facebook. Me? Oh, my God.
It's amazing how, people do this, huh? Now with the social media, you can sort of, people do what they do. It's kind of scary. Many levels,
it is.
Huh?
I got a text from a man that said, I'm on Facebook at such and such, and this young woman told me to contact you, that she's in trouble, and she knows that you'll help her. It turns out he was the trafficker, and it took two or three other contacts, and I knew this young lady. She was back in the States. We had gotten her back in the States, and that's why he was upset. He was from Haiti, and so we kind of got the authorities and everybody on to him, and we got her hidden. We hid her, and also her daughter.
Yeah.
And then it was terrible because later on, when we helped her get jobs, because she had a bachelor's degree, help her get a job in a nice organization, et cetera. Some of her colleagues and some of the other people blamed her for having been trafficked. And
Really?
So we talked to her about how to respond to them, and that we would go in and give the workshop if it was a large company, or I'd talk with the CEO or whoever about it. But blame the victim? There's a lot of that, unfortunately, and it still exists.
That's amazing, huh?
Yeah, yeah. How can you blame a victim? The problem is that today, from the time when I got into this, addressing human trafficking, the numbers, the stats have shifted so that now boys and girls about 50-50. So women and men, 50-50 being trafficked, and not just for labor, but for sex trafficking as well. So for both labor trafficking and sex trafficking, it's 50% men, boys, and women and girls. And for the women in sex trafficking, it's no longer just the young girls. There's still the 10, 12, 13, 14, 15, 16-year-old girls being trafficked. Sure, the traffickers aren't going to let that go. However, somehow or another, they have decided that women in around 32, 35 years of age are good to traffic. So most of the sex trafficking victims are now women in their early 30s. I don't understand any of this. I hear it, I understand it, I don't understand how it can happen. And I don't know where the mind is. And this is not just foreign people. These are Americans on America and Americans.
It's very scary.
It is. It has expanded. You know, we used to say that it was about a $15, $20 billion business. It's now up into the 30s. Billions.
Is it really?
Dollars worldwide. Yeah, and that means in the U.S. it was 15. We had 15 billion of that amount. It's now up to about 20, 25 billion. Billion, not million, dollars. Human trafficking, which used to be called trafficking in persons, terrible, it's a business, and the business is money.
Scary stuff. It really, really is. And
as I said, the conversation is
going to be eye-opening. Let's discuss different areas of trafficking that exists. There's organ trafficking too. I mean, is this kind of horror still prevalent?
I don't know if it's prevalent, but it still exists. It's getting reported upward for the TIP report. But organs, but not so, well. For a while, transplants were stopped or really scrutinized for organs that may have been taken from, trafficked out of Europe primarily, but also out of the Middle East, one or two. And we had a young girl, the uncle from Uganda and his wife, an American, came to me and said, the father of our niece has just come and abducted, and that was in Uganda. So I started looking up Uganda and from the State Department's TIP report to see what they're involved in, especially because this little 11-year-old girl was abducted by her dad. Her dad had never seen her. He didn't see her when she was born. And thereafter, suddenly he comes to the house and he pulls her out of that house. What does he want? Well, Uganda is highly known for selling organs. Yes, that's their main trafficking thing. And unfortunately, some of it came into some of the hospitals over here. And fortunately, our federal agencies did discover it and did pull it out and did arrest a few organizations that had been involved in trafficking organs here in the U.S. But that made it difficult for the hospitals and patients in need of organs. And that's, we start looking at the impacts of this. It's not good in any case. Besides, we don't do that because they usually take the organ from a live person. Trafficers don't have, they don't have gauze to put people to sleep.
That's horrific. That's
a horror
movie.
And there used to be child soldiers. That's decreased because the conflicts where those places were just simply don't exist in those places anymore. That's in those tribal lands and let's not talk about Somalia. They are having problems. But Sudan and some of the other places where kids, their parents, the adults were getting killed. So the kids were left on their own, so the traffickers would move in and turn them into child soldiers. And we have a law against that, and the world, many countries in the West have laws against that. It's just not allowed to turn children into soldiers, legitimately or otherwise.
That's really something. Again, this is probably information that's all new to most of our listeners. Child soldiers and also child marriage, right?
Yes. We're trying to ban child marriage. Zonta International is working on that, and it's very aggressive here in the United States. So we are trying to get a federal law passed and some state laws passed to ban child marriage. And what we tell some of the legislators, they look at us, but our faith allows it, and then it doesn't. And we'll look at them and go, you realize that once it's legitimized, we're talking about rape of a child, girl child, legitimate rape of a girl child. And they have never thought of it in those reasons, in those terms. But we are not adults until we're 18. And even at that, I mean, really. Fortunately, our laws in the U.S. in almost every state have set you become an adult when you're 18, which is great. So anybody under that is considered a child. And for child marriage, it's slow, but a few states are passing laws against it. And but again, it's difficult because it's ingrained that it's okay if the parents give their permission to the person marrying the child and the older person. And the older person is usually like 60, 70 years old, the man, and the girl is something like under 18. And
that's incredible.
I know, looking at the genealogy, yeah, and everybody will say, that's not new. Well, it's new, but that doesn't mean it has to continue.
Right.
And
exactly.
That's the whole thing. I know it's not new because I looked at my genealogy that my aunt and my mother had looked up. And are we still on? Am I still on?
Yeah. You are still going, yeah.
Okay. Okay, the phone was doing its funny thing again.
Yeah. Don't move. Don't sneeze. Don't blink.
Absolutely none of that. None of that. Just a story.
Yeah.
But it's a good story. It's a real story that I found out looking over all this information that a long-lost cousin, Julie, who was 13, she was introduced to a man in his 70s, and the family wanted her to marry him, and she didn't want to. So she was held against her will and married him, and he had a carriage with these beautiful horses. He thought she would like it, and she had her Bible with her. So he put her into the carriage, and she looked at him, and she turned around and grabbed the reins and got the horses moving.
Wow.
And it was an open carriage, so the carriage just bounced, and the Bible went out of her hands. She couldn't hang on to it. It just flew out of her hands into the road, and she eventually also fell out of the carriage into the road. But everybody said, well, then it wasn't meant to be because God took the Bible and threw it out of the carriage into the road.
Oh, my God. Wow.
I know. So the end of that child marriage thing was, I'm so glad that something happened.
Yeah.
So, that was way back, but it still should not continue. Why are these things continuing when we know better? We know right from wrong. Are we practicing it?
Mm-hmm.
I'm sorry, I shouldn't ask such questions.
No, it's all part of it, right? It's all part of the entire scenario and everything that you're referring to and you're talking about, and it's really an extraordinary thing. Is we just have an opportunity to share it with the audience in this way. There's even books too, many books written about human trafficking. Let's discuss a few. What is Renting Lacey by Linda Smith about?
Ah, she was one time a representative in the U.S. House of Representatives, and seeing some of the bills that came across about human trafficking, she became interested in people contacted her. And so she helped to pass some of the first laws against human trafficking. And in her own town and that, she went around and found some victims. And then she set up a victim service, social service, to take in victims and help them with trauma-informed care. So she was one of the early ones. And she really, her book is very good because it details that route that she took. So I don't know. Is there another one? There are about 30 books, right?
Yeah. The Johns, Sex for Sale, and the Men Who Buy It by...
Yeah, he's from another country in Europe at one time, Ukraine. And he saw it over there in Germany and elsewhere and what to do. And he said, why don't we arrest the Johns? That was his main thing. Why aren't we arresting the Johns? Why are we letting them go?
Right,
we
exactly.
aren't arresting the traffickers. We're not arresting the Johns. But in some places, we're arresting the victims. No, it's really misunderstood because law enforcement, even in the U.S., some local law enforcement in particular, look upon the victims as prostitutes until they get training. Now, our law in South Carolina and most of the laws have mandated training for law enforcement and judges and anybody else who wants to be involved, the social service agencies, so they can begin to identify it and understand it. However, I just saw this morning, Jim, this is a continuation too. There's now trafficking going on in prisons.
Really?
Mm. I don't
in the prisons.
Really.
How did they get
even
out?
The they're bribing somebody.
Somebody's
I don't know,
bribed.
But oh my God.
Wow.
Where
it's
does
incredible.
It ever end?
It really. There's another book too, The Slave Across the Street by Teresa Flores. Tell us about that one.
Yeah. Well, she was adopted and by a man who was vice president of a company. And when a neighbor family actually was involved in trafficking, but they were like two houses away, and they saw her. And when they'd see her alone, because he was out of town, he was very powerful, but when he was out of town, she was just alone. She'd go to school, and she'd see one or two of them there. And then they approached her, and they just wanted to have sex with her. In other words, pet her, groom her. And she refused, and so they forced her one day to come over to their house, and she thought it was okay because she saw them in high school. And then after that, she became highly vulnerable. And she eventually, when she got out of all that, she started a foundation against human trafficking, and it's the SOAP Foundation. Created a soap that could be wrapped with the hotline number on it and put into all the hotel rooms, because all the hotels and motels, you get soap, right? This was the bar soap. And so she had people, volunteers, wrapping this wrap around each of the bars of soap and then going to all the motels and hotels, particularly where there were events like the Super Bowl political party gathering or whatever, and have them all distribute these in the hotel. And it's the Soap Foundation. I think she's still doing it. But through that, then she had volunteers. She created collages of missing persons from an area, like if it's from where? Tampa, Florida. She'd find there are two or three sites with missing persons of all ages. And so she'd take the photos and the names and such and put it all together and have her volunteers go throughout the city to the various motels and hotels and restaurants and ask if they ever saw this person or that person. And as a result, they did identify some of the missing persons who were in being trafficked and in housekeeping or in restaurant service in the back or whatever. So she did find some that way, and she found the missing person.
Wow. That's incredible, huh?
Yeah. Who would have thought that was successful? That was what she came up with eventually.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah.
She came from a high-end, it was a wealthy neighborhood, and there her father was at a high level in corporate, and she was still abducted and taken and so forth, yeah.
Another book, this one by Rachel Lloyd, Girls Like Us.
Oh, Rachel Lloyd started the organization GEMS, and she's the one who got a lot of the laws changed and really pushed for it, and she helped an awful lot of victims, too, and get the right organizations, particularly with trauma-informed care. Now, she's fabulous. There is another book that's by a woman from the 1800s, I think, or the early 1900s. They wouldn't say it on the back. You tell them, is her name start with a B?
Yeah.
Sorry, I don't have that in front of me. But think of it. It was before cars, before phones, before all that. And she was held upstairs in an attic for 4 years with little to no food. She finally escaped. And the man who helped her to escape, the boy, she got him out too and up to a city in the Northeast. And she got there and she opened an orphanage for children escaping from such things. In those days, 1800s or so, my goodness. After 4 years of being locked up in the attic in this house. Yeah.
E- E. Benjamin Skinner, A Crime So Monstrous.
One of the few who said it right outright. Outright. Yeah.
What's that one about?
I'd have to go back and look at it exactly.
Yeah.
It's obviously it's a point, yeah. It's his experience. I don't know. So
amazing.
I have about 50 books.
So much material been written on all of this. Harriet Jacobs' autobiography, A Slave from the 1800s,
that's
and
it,
her
yeah.
own narrative.
Yes, yes. She wrote it. Amazing, amazing. She was a black woman.
Yeah.
In the South.
Yeah.
My
yeah.
God. In those days.
Yeah.
So it really is it's amazing. And I don't know. We all have to think, what if we were abducted? I just went to a celebration of life for Brittany Drexel, this young girl who was abducted when she was, well, in 2009. And it was 13 years, so she was 17, here in Myrtle Beach. And we just had her mother and such had a celebration of life here for her because they did find her bones. Horrible. And the man who did her raped her, and they think sold her a little bit here and there, and then murdered her. He in the court looked at everybody and said he said I'm a monster.
Actually,
he's proud of
it,
that.
Huh? Yeah.
Yes, he's proud of that. All he got, and this is, I'm going to look at, somebody said, Betty, look at the laws, because the judge couldn't do anything else. And I said, you're kidding. Gave him the sentence of life in prison without parole. I'm sorry. What if he breaks out? What if he gets, I don't know. What if eventually he does get parole for some reason or another?
Right,
not
exactly.
Scary. She was coming. She had come down here for spring break with some of her friends. She was coming around a little hotel where they had been staying. Not a major one or anything, but it's known on Ocean. It's okay. And the FBI, when they got back and looked at her phone tracks, because they can track phones in such a way, this is immense, that they knew she was walking on the sidewalk, like she had said, down the road, because the waves that emanated the sound from her phone were very slow. So they knew she was walking. And then suddenly, all of it sped up. So then they knew she was in a car. She didn't have any car.
Right.
And this guy had literally picked her up. She got in the car. She wasn't, we say that she's abducted, but she was actually, they said he kidnapped her. And eventually he did, and he took her to a motel that he owned down in another county. But in any case, they could figure out that she had been walking. Then she got picked up. She was in a car. She got into the car. All I have to say to anybody, if you don't know the driver, if you don't know anybody in the car, and they whistle or point or ask you to get into their car, don't.
Just like we were taught when we were kids, if somebody drove up and when we were kids offered us candy, don't go anywhere near that car. Lesson we've heard since we were children. Betty, I can't believe the 30 minutes has flown by already. It's all wrapped up. Yeah, went by in a New York minute, but for our listeners, good news, you'll be back with us next week, same time, looking forward to that, Tuesday, November 8th, 2 p.m. Eastern, with us here on Close Up Radio, and I look forward to it.
Okay.
You're on
and
LinkedIn
we'll
as well.
And we'll look into the new technology.
Yes,
okay.
I want to let them, you're on LinkedIn, linkedin.com, at Betty-Houbion,
yes.
Houbion, that's Houbion. -98AB0317/. And thanks for joining us, Betty. This was really eye-opening. And again, to explore and unpack on next week's episode as well. I'm thoroughly looking forward to that.
Yes, I am too. And thank you for having me on. And we have to tell everybody no to human trafficking. Put it to an end.
Exactly right. We second that emotion here at Close Up Radio. Absolutely. Betty J. Ubian, Resolve LLC, advocate, educator, one of the most influential voices in raising awareness about human sex trafficking. It's always a pleasure to have people who are doing incredible things to make our world a better place with us, and Betty is doing that. Betty, thank you for joining us as well, and thanks to our listeners. I'm Jim Masters. Appreciate you being with us as well. This episode is recorded in its entirety, so you can hear it again. And as I mentioned, Betty will be with me next week. That is Tuesday as well. And that date is November 8th, 2 p.m. Eastern Time, here on Close Up Radio. For all of us, have a terrific day. Thanks for listening, and bye for now.
You have been listening to a broadcast from Close Up Radio, a division of Close Up Television, Incorporated. For more information about our show and to be considered for future broadcasts, please visit closeuptelevision.com. You may also learn about us on social media and listen to us on podcast and internet radio. Thank you for joining us, and we hope that you have an empowered and productive day.